Grace Baptist Church, and just good to be able to share the Word of God with you and see some folks that we knew in the past. And, you know, we began talking about different folks that we knew, and, you know, it's a small world. And we're thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here. And we want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers in chapter number 13. And it was good to be able to be here on Wednesday night. Our brother said it's not normal that someone volunteers first thing out to speak on Wednesday night, but I'm kicking some of my men out of the nest, so to speak, letting them take charge. And if you're there all the time, they won't do that. So I thought I'll just get out of the way and kind of force them into the position. So I called them on the way up here, and they weren't quite ready. They thought I was just kidding, but I was serious. So anyway, they asked what the title of my message was this evening, and the title of my message is Caleb's Commitment. But also I'm going to, kind of as a subtitle, What Do You Do When the Sins of Others Affect You? I want you to think about that. Because all of us have times that when someone else sins, it might affect us. It might be someone who commits a terrible act of violence against us. It might be maybe the owner of our company might embezzle funds, and that might affect our job status. Could be a drunk driver maybe driving, and you have an accident because of their drunk driving. All types of things, all types of ways that the sins of someone else might affect us. And we'll learn from Caleb how he handled that. How Caleb handled it whenever the sins of others affected him. And he really handled it like we should handle anything in life. He handled it by being committed to the Lord. And so we're going to look at the life of Caleb, and what we're going to talk to you about Caleb is nothing new to you. I know. But we're going to try to learn some things about the character of Caleb. And that is one thing that is necessary in our society today. We need people of character. We need people of godly character. We need people whom, when the world looks at them, they can see that there's something different about that person. There's something that I can see in them that they're not like everyone else. And it is generally seen by our character. So in Numbers chapter number 13 and verse number 30, it says this about Caleb. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, you know as well as I do, more than likely, that this is when Caleb was sent over with the other spies, and they went over to view the promised land, and they came back, and Joshua and Caleb gave the good report of the land, and the other 10 spies gave the evil report, and they were, the 10 spies said, "Oh no, there's giants over there, and the land is good and plenteous, but the cities are walled, we can't go." And Caleb says, "Yes, we can, because God says we can go." And that's the confidence that Caleb had in God. We are well able to overcome it. So we can understand about Caleb that Caleb was a man of confidence in the Lord. And if we're going to be committed to the Lord in our lives, that's exactly what we're going to have to be. Our confidence is in the Lord. Our confidence is not in ourselves, in our abilities. As they sang that song, "A Vessel of Mercy," each and every one of us know that that's simply what we are. We are vessels of mercy. If it was not for the mercy of God, where would we be? That's why Ephesians 2:4 is my favorite verse of Scripture. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." I love "but God" because I know that time when God intervened in my life. So we know that what we are by the grace of God, and we understand that. So Caleb was committed, and his confidence was in the Lord, no matter the negativity that he faced. And he faced much negativity. All of the nation of Israel, 600,000 plus, stood against him. There were 12 spies that went over, 10 brought back an evil report, 2 brought back a good report. Much negativity faced Caleb, and Caleb remained confident. Caleb remained committed. Caleb continued to trust in the Lord. Now, I don't know about you all, but as I go out into the world, I face a little bit of negativity. Our society is full of negativity, especially as our country is facing the sequester. There's lots of negativity about our government and about gun control laws and all of those things. There's much negativity out there. What are we going to do as we face that negativity? What did Caleb do? Caleb continued to trust the Lord. Now let's look down at verse number 31, and it says, that's me. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. So we understand that the people's faith faltered. Now I want you to think about that. The people's faith faltered. They would not trust God. They would not go with the confidence of Caleb. Their faith faltered, but Caleb remained confident in the Lord, regardless of the faithlessness of others, regardless of the murmuring of others. Caleb's confidence remained in the Lord. Let's turn over to the book of Numbers now in chapter number 14. The book of Numbers in chapter number 14, as we look into the fact that Caleb's confidence was in the Lord. So let's read verses 1 through 9. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Think about that. They wish they would have died instead of facing the promises of God. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And here, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Notice Caleb's confidence in the Lord. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against the Lord. Neither fear you the people of the land, for they are dead for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Notice the confidence that Caleb had in the Lord. He maintained his confidence in the face of negativity, in the face of the faithlessness of others, even though many murmured against the Lord, Caleb's confidence remained in the Lord. Caleb remained committed to the Lord. Now again, how often do we face that today? How often do we face murmuring? How often do we face complaining? How often do we face a lack of faith and a lack of trust in the Lord? What are we going to do when others are not trusting the Lord? When others are not following after Him? Are we going to follow after them? Or are we going to maintain our commitment to the Lord? Are we going to continue to walk with the Lord even though maybe all others forsake Him? Caleb was committed to the Lord. He stood in the face of the opposition and he was willing to stand even though he might have been standing alone. We see from this that Caleb was committed to the Lord. So we understand that Caleb was committed and the rest of the children of Israel were not committed. What was the key to Caleb's character? What was the key to his commitment? Let's turn to verse number 24. Here's what God had to say. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein to he went, and his seed shall possess it. Notice, Caleb had a different spirit about him. Now we know that that was the Spirit of the Lord. We know that the Spirit of the Lord is that which Caleb was following after it, and it gave him wisdom to be able to be faithful to the Lord. But notice that Caleb's heart was different than everyone else's heart. Everyone else's heart was looking at the natural circumstances. Everyone else's heart was looking at the people of the land. Caleb could care less about the people of the land. He could care less about the Anakim that were over there and the great walled cities. The only thing that mattered to Caleb was the promises of God. And that's why he remained committed to the Lord. Now, as we go out into this world today, there's going to be a lot of opposers out there. There's going to be many people who aren't committed to the Lord. There's even people who are religious, but they're not committed to the words of God. They may manipulate the Scriptures. They may believe part of the Scriptures and leave other parts of the Scriptures off. But it shouldn't matter to us what they're doing. We need to be faithful to the promises of God and let the promises of God be that which drives our commitment. Now, I want you to think about this. We are an autonomous assembly. All of the Lord's churches are autonomous. That means we have the right to govern ourselves. Now, most people like to call us independent, and where that's a good word, but autonomous is better. And, you know, we have the right to vote. But, you know, is majority rules, is that always the best way? Does that mean it's always right? Just because the majority votes for something, does that mean it's always right? Let's remember this. As an autonomous assembly of the Lord, we're supposed to be casting our vote based because we've been led by God. Because that's where we feel that the Holy Spirit has led us, and that's the way we're supposed to cast our vote. Now, that's not part of the message. I just want you to realize this. In this case, the majority voted. The majority voted, let's not go up. The land's great, but the circumstances are bad. Let's not go up. 599,998 against two, basically. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, we're going to follow after God. And there's almost 600,000, really over 600,000, against two. They would have been better off if they had followed the two and let that be the majority. Why? Because that majority was in line with the Word of God. That majority, those two were in line with the promises of God. The others were not. Listen, majority being in power and the majority ruling is not always good. Caleb had another spirit. Listen, just because everyone else is doing something doesn't mean it's okay. Doesn't mean that it's right. If it's contrary to the Word of God, if it's not according to the promises of God, you better not go with the majority. You better go with the Word of God, and you better go with the promises of God, because Caleb's commitment to the promises of God is that which caused him to receive the blessings of God. And we're going to see those in just a little bit. What is different, the different spirit that Caleb had? It tells us there in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully." I want you to notice about Caleb that his commitment to the Lord was not a half-hearted commitment. That his commitment wasn't to the Lord as long as it's going to be the easy way. His commitment to the Lord, listen, it wasn't half-hearted in any way. He fully, and we're going to read a little bit later, he wholly followed after the Lord. In other words, he didn't want to take it because it was easy. He didn't want to follow the Lord because it was convenient, because it was the most popular thing to do. He wanted to follow the Lord because it was the Lord. He wanted to walk according to the promises of God because they were the promises of God. And it didn't matter the circumstances he faced. It didn't matter the trials he faced. He was going to be faithful to the promises of God and the Word of God no matter what. He fully followed the Lord. You're having a time of revival here tonight and this week, and hopefully that's exactly what you are desiring, to be revived, to be more committed to the Lord. Maybe some of you have been sort of half-heartedly following the Lord. Following the Lord when it's convenient. Following the Lord when it's profitable for you. Following the Lord whenever you feel like it. That's not commitment. That's not commitment. You have to have a whole commitment to the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. I asked someone the other day, what's it mean to be committed to the Lord? And he said, well, here's what being committed to the Lord means to me. If there's something to do at church, and there's something to do in the world, I'll make the decision to do what's at church first, and what's the world second. That's being committed to the Lord. Think about that for just a minute. The thing that made Caleb different than the others is that Caleb was fully and wholly committed to the Lord. It was the spirit of obedience and the spirit of trust. The spirit of obedience and the spirit of trust. You know, when it comes to trusting the Lord with your whole heart, and leaning not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging Him. Sometimes it requires you, almost always, it will require you to move in a way that you don't know the answer. God's going to tell you to take a path, and you're not going to know the outcome of that path. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. More than likely, if you're walking by faith, you're not going to know where God is leading you. You're not going to know how God is going to get you somewhere. You're just simply going to trust the Lord. That's what Caleb was. That's what Caleb did. He trusted the Lord, that the Lord's way is the best way. And if the Lord wants me to go, He's going to provide the way. He's going to provide the means for me to accomplish whatever it is that He desires for me to accomplish. I'm just simply going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm not going to weigh things out and say, well, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, you got to do a risk-reward analysis. You know, you might do out on the job site somewhere a risk-reward analysis, and if the reward is great enough, you might be willing to take a risk. Well, you're not going to do a risk-reward analysis with the Lord, because more than likely it's going to be a great risk, and the reward's going to seem like, I don't know what the reward's going to be. So the numbers aren't going to come out right. Caleb knew by looking at the giants that were in the land, yeah, they were bigger and they were mightier. Yes, the cities were walled and the cities were great, but it didn't matter to Caleb because God said, go. God says, I'm going to give you the land. And so Caleb's ready to go. A spirit of trust in the Lord. Caleb trusted that God would bring him into the land. And we got to understand and believe that God is going to see us through, that God is going to carry us through. And I want you to notice something else about what God calls Caleb, verse 24. But my servant, Caleb. God called Caleb His servant. He knew where Caleb's heart was, that Caleb was not self-serving. Caleb was not narcissistic like our society is today. It was not about Caleb, it was about the Lord. Now, our society today, the reason we have people that will not trust the Lord is because it's mostly about them. It's all about them feeling good. It's all about them feeling blessed. It's all about what God can do for them. Caleb, it wasn't about that. It was about Caleb being faithful to God. And Caleb was willing to serve God no matter what. Now we've seen Caleb's commitment to the Lord. That no matter what, Caleb trusted the Lord. And he was willing to go. And he said, we need to go now. But the majority said, no, we can't go. The majority said, we're going to become a prey. The majority said, our children are going to die in the land. It would have been better for us to die in the wilderness. They didn't know the prophetic words that they were speaking at that time. That's exactly what they wanted, and that's exactly what they got. They all died in the wilderness. Maybe not at the hands of the enemy. They died for various reasons, but they all died in the wilderness because they were not willing to trust God. Now, Caleb's ready to go. Caleb's ready to go up and take the land. But what does Caleb have to do? Because the children of Israel would not go into the land of promise, God says you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Caleb is a man of faith. Caleb is a man that is fully committed to God. Caleb is right with the Lord. God says, that's my servant. But Caleb had to suffer because of the sins of the rest of the people. How did Caleb respond to that? How did Caleb respond when the sins of others affected him? Well, we know what he did, don't we? We know that Caleb remained faithful. Caleb suffered through the wilderness wanderings that were caused by others. What about you? Would your faith stand like Caleb's did? If the sins of someone else caused you to suffer, if the sins of someone else caused you not to be able to enjoy the blessings of God, if the sins of someone else caused you not to prosper, could you still remain faithful to God? Could you still remain committed to the Lord? Could you still remain true? Now that's a question for us, isn't it? Because most of the time, if someone else would sin and would cause us to suffer, more than likely we would get bitter against that person. More than likely we would get bitter towards God. God, I was faithful to you. And those are the guys that weren't faithful. They were the ones that wouldn't believe you. God, I was believing you. Now, look what you're making me do. You're making me wander through the wilderness for 40 years. It's not right. It's not fair, God, that you're making me wander. Why don't I get to go over and enjoy the blessings and make them go die in the wilderness? But I need to go enjoy the land. So that's the way we would be, wouldn't we? Now, that's not the way Caleb was. Caleb just remained faithful to the Lord, committed to the Lord. His faith was steadfast through all of those troubling years. Caleb never blamed God. He never grew bitter. He only trusted the Lord. Now I want you to think about that. Are you committed to the Lord? Do you have the faith that Caleb had? No matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, no matter what you're facing, no matter how the lives of others and the sins of others may be affecting you, will you remain faithful to the Lord? Look at Joshua chapter number 14. Because for Caleb, there was also no retirement. You know, we all look forward to retirement, don't we? We look forward to that time when you turn 60-ish. You know, or whatever age that is now that you get to retire. I'm just planning on never retiring because I had to get a new mortgage at 43. So I got a 30-year mortgage. So at 73, I'll have my mortgage paid off. So I don't suspect to live that long. So I'm just going to be paying on my house the rest of my life. You know, so there's not going to be any retirement for me. No retirement for Caleb either. Joshua chapter number 14. Verses 6 through 13. No doubt Caleb could have said, man, if we'd have went up and fought those battles, and so it took 5 years or six or seven, or, you know, I should be retired by now. I should be living on Easy Street. I should have conquered that mountain by now, but I'm not even in the promised land yet. So Caleb was anticipating that time when he would receive the promise, and he was expecting retirement. No retirement for Caleb. Chapter number 14, verse number 6 of Joshua. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. There's the key to his character. There will be the key to your character, and the key to your commitment is to wholly follow the Lord. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord my God. There it is again. For emphasis, the key to Caleb's life was that he wholly followed the Lord. Let me tell you, the key to the life of God and commitment is to wholly follow the Lord. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, I want you to notice something. Notice who he said wandered in the wilderness. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Caleb didn't. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Caleb didn't mention that he wandered in the wilderness. What was he doing? He just waiting on the promise of God. It took him 40 years to get the promise, and the children of Israel were wandering, but Caleb was just waiting on the promise. So it says, verse 10, it says, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now this, I think, is amazing. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Think about that. He's now 85 and he says, I was as strong as I was when I was 40. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Let's stop right there. Now, I don't know about you, but I want you to think how strong Caleb's faith was. 45 years. You've had to wait on something from God for 45 years? I've not. I'm barely that old. I'll be 48 in May. But for 45 years, he had to wait. And he had to wait. And he had to wait. And he had to trust the Lord. And he had to trust the Lord. And he had to trust the Lord. How strong was his commitment? I mean, if we have to wait on the voice of God to tell us something, God, I've been praying about this for 2 weeks now. Some of us won't even pray for 2 weeks. I prayed about it once, and I didn't hear nothing from God. So 45 years. Caleb waited on the Lord. 45 years, Caleb stayed committed. 45 years, the faith of Caleb never faltered. 45 years, Caleb walked with the Lord. The sins of others had caused him to wait. He didn't cry. He didn't moan. He just trusted the Lord. Caleb waited for the Lord. Waited for God. When he and God would be able to drive out the inhabitants. Here's the thing about the children of Israel wandering and Caleb not wandering. Caleb knew exactly where he was at and what he was doing. He knew exactly what God was going to do. God was going to keep his promise. He was going to go up and have that mountain that God had promised him. He wanted to do it today, but he had to wait for 45 years. But Caleb knew exactly where he was at. He was going to receive the promise. Think about that song. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know what? Some of us wish He would come today. Some of us long for that day. But you know what? If He doesn't come for another 45 years, let's still be saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's not grow weary in the battle. Let's not let our faith grow weak because there are many around us who are forsaking the Lord because there are many who are not believing the promises. Let's not allow our faith to grow weak as Caleb did. Let our faith be strong, knowing that we are going to receive the promise because, like what it said about Abraham, Abraham being 100 and his wife being 90, the Bible says he staggered not at the promise. Why? Because he believed that he who had promised was faithful. And that's exactly what Caleb believed. He believed in the faithfulness of God. He believed that God was going to do what God had promised that He was going to do. So Caleb didn't stagger at the promise either. And let's not stagger at the promises of God either. Let's remain strong. Let's remain firm. Let's remain committed because God is truly faithful. And here's the great thing. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Let's realize 45 years later, Caleb asked for the land. The mountain might be difficult because of the Anakims. The land might be, the cities might be great and be fenced, but it doesn't matter. The Lord was going to be with him. Notice that in the last part of verse number 12, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So we see the commitment of Caleb. Even though the sins of others caused Caleb to suffer, Caleb never gave up on the Lord. Caleb never forgot the promises of God. Caleb's faith never grew weak. Caleb just continued. Some things that we learn from Caleb is that we should not be afraid. Verse number 9 of chapter number 14 says, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. He was not afraid. Let's understand the dedication that Caleb had. His life was a job well done. Caleb was a man of faith because he understood that the Lord was with him. How do we face our giants? Our own personal giants. Those giants that we come across in our lives and every day. They may be a personal weakness that we have. They might be a difficult task that we've been given. A door that seems to be closed. Continue to trust the Lord and be faithful to Him. And remember that eventually we will receive our promised inheritance. Never waver. Continue to follow the Lord. And in this day, when it seems like all of those around us, or many that are around us, their faith is faltering. Let our faith not falter, but let us remain committed and let us gain strength and let's realize that if God promised it, He's going to be faithful to His promise. And whatever God has promised you, He's going to be faithful to do it. So you be faithful to Him. You be committed to Him. And it may be 45 years down the road, but you're going to receive your crown. I went to the funeral the other day. And they was talking about the dear lady there, and they talked about what a nice person she was and how sweet she was and how she always made sure that the work hands had their dinner and all of these good things they had to say about that lady. They didn't really talk about her going to church. I mean, they did a little bit, but it wasn't really about serving the Lord. It was about being nice and about serving others, which is okay. But the thought that came to my mind, your life is over, then what? Your life is over, then what? What's your reward going to be at the end of this life? What's your reward going to be? You're going to live however many years, then what? What is your reward going to be? Are you going to have the reward of Caleb, of a faithful follower of God who has been committed? Or are you going to be seen as one that turned their backs on the promises of God and wandered in the wilderness of your life? I pray that God puts it on your heart to remain faithful, to be committed, and to wholly follow the Lord no matter what those around you are doing.